KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Some of these guys look like they might recognize the song. There you go. All right.
Good evening.
Good evening, Northern California. This is Shasta Live by the Shasta County Chamber.
Yes, it is.
And I'm
Nigel.
James.
Yeah. Jason is getting a black eye voluntarily.
Yeah, that's going to be a nice story there. Jason's doing a charitable boxing match, and he's going to take on the weather person at KRCR.
So this is like the exact opposite of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. This is more like...
Punching the Stars.
Yeah, this is more like social media stuff with what's those two blonde kids that did the big fight recently? I can't think of their name. Anyway, so you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, just so you know where you're at on the dial.
Yep. And so we have a full house.
Happy New Year to everybody in the studio. It's a full house.
Yep.
We still have a restaurant coming this evening,
That's
too.
That's right. but for now... As the Shasta County Chamber, we are advocates for Shasta County being rural, being a rural county.
Yep.
And we have the Cattlemen's Association here. We have Chris Kellstrom with us. And just to set the record straight.
Supervisor.
What did I say?
Supervisor Kellstrom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just said Kellstrom.
Well, everybody knows Chris.
I know, but still.
Supervisor
honor,
Chris Kellstrom.
You saw the corner of his eye. That's like a doctor.
I'm just kidding.
one of the reasons for this show is we went to the Cattlemen's Association, and contrary to popular belief, your meat and your fruits and veggies do not grow in the supermarket, right? I mean,
that's correct.
And it's kind of weird that we actually have to say that, but there's a whole culture out there that believes that. But before we get started, Supervisor Chris Kellstrom. How are you? Are you ready for the next? Are you ready for tomorrow?
I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I'm looking forward to it. Three new board members.
Is it the officially bring them in day?
It's
tomorrow?
It's official now. They're actually they are supervisors, no longer supervisors elect. I was with Patrick Jones this morning, and at noon he no longer was a supervisor. So, he rode with me so he could park at my spot.
there you go. So the last 2 years have been good for you? Have you enjoyed the experience so far?
You know, I have. I mean, if you've ever watched a meeting, you know the nonsense we put up with for an extra 3 or 4 hours every single meeting. But, you know, we're getting a lot of stuff done. We're getting a lot of stuff accomplished in the background that people don't even understand. You know, I hired a new interim resource manager who's in charge of all the permitting and building and zoning. And then I promoted an individual to permanent resource manager. So we've got a whole new county council's office. We've got a great CEO. I mean, we have, a public health officer. We've done some really good things, got some really key positions in there. So we're going in the right direction, and I'm happy to see it, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Look at all the cattlemen faces. They're very serious listening to you. They're like, mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, so talk about an industry that when you talk about zoning and regulations and stuff like that, if you pay attention over the long haul, you see that it's regulation over regulation over regulation. It keeps getting more and more and more, right?
Absolutely. And less rights.
That's right. So, okay, why don't you introduce yourselves real quick?
I'm Matt Fowler, on the board of directors for the Cattlemen's Association, Shasta County.
I'm Roy Wickers. I am the vice president for Shasta County Cattlemen's.
I'm Jeff Carman. I'm the treasurer for Shasta County Cattlemen's.
Yep. And when did this Cattlemen's Association start?
We were incorporated, I want to say 1964, but we were operating well before then. And as a matter of fact, we just had one of our founding members just pass away not too long ago, Glenn Aldridge. So we've been around for quite a while.
Yeah, I'll say. Before I was even born. I feel like I'm old as dirt.
and have you guys always been ranchers? Is this part of your family lineage? Are you in this?
Yeah, for me personally, I married into this. I teach school, actually. and my wife is fifth generation cattle rancher out in Ono. And so she's carrying on that family tradition since 1897. Her folks, family homesteaded out there.
Wow.
And so
there's a story in itself.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, the story is incredible. But yeah, it's so I got into this kind of almost accidentally. I grew up around the area. I grew up in Palisadro. but still wasn't quite connected to agriculture. And so it's just been really neat learning, you know, having her educate me and just learning. I've been with the Cattlemen's Association now pretty close to 25 years or so. So it's just, it's a learning experience that's...
So you've been married that long, too?
I've been married 28 years now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so.
So you were born and raised in the area?
Yeah.
So you, where did you go to school out in
Palo Cedro? I went to Junction School. Then I went to a little private school called North Valley Christian School that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. It's funny because as we're talking, we're finding out we have kids that live in the same place, right? Yes. And I grew up since I was five, six in Bella Vista. Mm-hmm. So I went to Bella Vista School, but I also went to Country Christian in Palo Cedro when it was over by Uncle Bob's and the old trailers before they even moved to where it is now.
Right, yes. Yeah, and so we probably crossed paths.
Probably.
Roy, how about you?
Yeah, I grew up here in Chaska County as well. Lived in Millville. I got a wife and three children. So.
And have you been in this industry for a long time?
Not necessarily consistently. I started working for the Wootons when I was in high school.
Bees.
And in the bee industry. Mm-hmm. And that's Shannon Glenda, and he had bought his family's ranch. And so they found out I was better at getting trampled by horses and cows than I was getting stung at bees. So I've been there pretty well ever since. I did do some working out of town, but stayed with the ranch. Been there full time. Again, they're a family that's been operating on the same ranch, same homestead since 1862.
Wow.
And it's just an honor to work with them and work with guys like that, because I don't really have any direct family that came from ranching. You know, I got some great grandfathers, but getting to work with them, and it's passion and an honor to work with them, because they know so much and they love this county.
I was going to say, it seems like it's in your blood.
Yeah,
I mean, you look like and sound like a rancher.
Cow food.
How about you?
So I'm a transplant. I grew up in Nevada County in Grass Valley, and then I'm married into a third generation agriculture family from this community. So we dabbled, as I was growing up, we dabbled in cattle and horses and lived on property, but it wasn't until I retired and moved here with my wife back where her family was that we got into it in earnest.
Okay, great.
And you're just so people could know, because you didn't introduce yourself, you're Jeff Carter.
Oh, yeah.
And you're the treasurer of the Chesta County Cattlemen's.
Right.
But so
just like everybody gets
you like
due.
Numbers.
Yeah. I know, but I wasn't at the meeting and they voted me in. So.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what would you say are the top issues? I'm sure there's 100. What are some of the top issues that are facing you as a cattleman association? Like what are the biggest struggles for
that? And what is a cattleman's association? What is it that you actually do?
Well, our association is many faceted. We're there to just be kind of a spokesperson for the industry, for those who, you know, for our members, but also trying to bring up the young people and get them to love that industry as well. So we try to do a lot of things for the youth. But then also, you know, there is so many attacks on our industry politically, and so we're constantly making sure that we're up on all new legislation. We're writing letters. We're doing a lot of, we feel like, you know, we're almost politicians sometimes.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be up on everything.
And do you think that California specifically is a very aggressive state towards the farming and livestock industries and those types of things and what they're trying to implement? I mean, I guess
in a negative way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm assuming is this mostly? I mean, do they hang their hat mostly on that beef isn't a green industry of some sort? I mean, like, what would be the negative side other than environmental, right? I mean, like, are they trying to push that meat's not healthy? It's, you know, what, I mean, because...
All of it. And
anything and everything?
Anything and everything, and all of it is, it can be debunked.
Mm.
You know, with as far as the environmental aspect of it, I will tell you right now, the cattle ranchers are the original environmentalists.
For real.
I mean, that land, I can show you pictures, black and white images of our area, and it looks exactly the same today as it did then. Mm. And you can't say that about any shopping center that went in or any roads that went in. I mean, it's, you know, asphalt does a number on the ground.
Sure.
And then when you talk about just other attacks as far as the healthy aspect of it. It is incredibly healthy. It's like anything else, you know, you make it part of a balanced diet, and it is one of the, it is the most important aspect of that balanced diet.
I would say, you know, grass-fed beef
is
the healthiest food you can have, because, you know, a cow has four stomachs, so it gets processed four times, right?
There you go.
So, tell you what, let's take one quick break, and we'll be right back.
Unique homes, uniquely placed, uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit SimpsonU.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
All of us.
We are now.
Sometimes I wish... thank you. And sorry, I forget.
Supervisor Chris Kelson was with us. And we have the Cattlemen
and Association. And the motley crew of the Cattlemen, Shasta County Cattlemen Association. Sometimes I wish there was like an outtake, you know, not everything, but some of the things you talk about off air is so interesting, you know, because...
Your thing in the window? No. Okay. So,
Exactly.
So we were at your meeting on Saturday.
Yes.
And one of the
Big annual meeting.
Big annual meeting. Yep. And one of the main topics that came up was the gray wolf. Right?
And which I was completely shocked by. I thought there was one.
So would you like to give a synopsis of what the issues are?
So the meeting, just so to recap, that we went was really great. You had a lot of people that were put up on stage that were more, you know, experts in different areas, so that the layman like myself could listen, but also then ask questions.
Yeah,
and this one was very fascinating. And I don't remember the gentleman's name that really spoke to this, but he was some type of animal.
He was a lobbyist.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, believe it or not,
yes, he was.
Oh, well,
Kirk Wilbur. He's with California Cattlemen Association.
Okay.
He was instrumental in drawing up, or at least being part of, the plan that was put together by California Fish and Wildlife for the gray wolf. And I'm not the expert with it, really, but it's the wolves migrated here, but that's because they
pushed
were basically
out.
Well, they were planted elsewhere. So so then they come in here, and Fish and Wildlife swears, well, we're never going to plant them in California, but now they are regulating them, which means. Hands off. There's no. You can't even. You almost can't look cross-eyed at them.
Sure.
And they are monsters.
Yeah.
And they will decimate.
And the conversation or the talk that was had is that the wolves themselves are a species that is originally from Canada.
I get mixed when I talk to different people.
Yeah.
I get a different answer almost every time.
Sure.
The one thing that does kind of keep coming back is that this species was not native to California. And I mean, somebody will probably argue with me on that, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the most interesting things that he said, because they sued. The Endangered Species Act says you protect endangered species that are native to the area. These wolves that we have are not native to the area. They're down from Canada. The Mexican gray wolf is what we had. And at one point, the Mexican gray wolf was down to 13 animals. But, you know, it would be one thing if they were to come back into their historic range and move into California. Well, then, you know, the Endangered Species Act would
kick
cover
in
that.
And that would be legit.
Right. But these are not native wolves.
These are apparently slightly larger.
Yeah.
These are more of the Beowulf
They're my size, Nigel.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, are these like the Twilight Wolves from the movie Twilight?
So you have a lot of cattlemen who are losing cattle.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it hasn't quite made it this side of Shasta County, but it's now entered Shasta County.
Hmm.
And so, but it's hit Lassen, it's hit Siskiyou, Plumas.
Well, I saw the map. There's a pack or whatever all the way down into Larry County. That's 6 hours south of us.
That one I couldn't quite understand.
How'd that happen?
I don't understand that one. But I can tell you that the map that shows our area.
It was red. There was a lot of red.
A lot of red. In the eight packs, at least eight that they are eight breeding pairs. There's some discrepancies as far as how you label it.
Well, that was what was interesting to talk to them about, all the things, right? They were like, oh, there was one, and then there was some, and then there all these rules about pairs, and there can be eight, and then I was just like, what is this? This is the weirdest thing I've seen. But then I went up and then asked him again. I said, the big thing too they talked about is that the deer herds are being decimated and that kind of stuff. And then I thought, well,
wolves have to eat, especially if they're the size of Crisco's.
Right.
Super rising.
But then I said, how does that affect the elk herd? Right. Because I didn't even know until fairly recently we have a pretty established elk herd in Shasta County. And he said that they were interesting because, back from wherever they are, elk, buffalo, those types of things are on their diet predominantly. But he said it's interesting here because when they do scat, they go through the scat to check whatever it is. It's like number one is cattle that's in there. Then two is deer. And then three after that is rodents, things like rabbits and all that stuff. And he said, and then occasionally we will find elk in their scat and stuff. But I thought, well, that's really weird. But he said that the wolves have gotten very clever in that they won't even take down a newborn calf, which would be super easy because it's not even worth their time in wait for food, that they will actually avoid a new calf and wait for calves to get up to 300 pounds
or so,
and then choose to take them down because then they actually get to eat. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is kind of scary.
Yeah, absolutely scary.
They get to eat more, and the mother is not as protective when they get to that size.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they've kind of pulled away from the mother, and the mother doesn't have that aggressive instinct.
So the other thing is, cows a little bit easier to catch than, say, an elk or something that lives in that wild. So it's a little easier choice.
Yeah, it's easier to get away if you're not pinned.
That's what I would
think. You're not.
Well, when there's nothing that can protect it. You can't protect them.
I was thinking that same thing, Roy. I've wrestled down a few steers. I've never wrestled down an elk.
Yeah. So then my question also, and sorry, Nigel, but would be, are there not sufficient animals, domesticated types of dogs and things that ranchers can have that are those more guardian dogs that would at least try to put up a fuss or a fight or alert or something like that? Because I know they were talking about deterrence.
If you go through the Fish and Wildlife website and they have they actually bring that up, different deterrents.
Yeah.
And dogs, domesticated dogs, are one of those, but they actually say that for wolves it's not very effective.
Just because they're so aggressive.
I think they're so aggressive.
They just look at their dog as a snack.
Two to three times the size of the dog. So.
Yeah.
In phase. These cattle are out on open range. They're not in a backyard. They're not pinned up cattle.
Yeah.
A lot of them are out on that open range, so having a domesticated dog out there.
Sure.
In phase one, they let you use noisemakers to scare the wolves away.
Hmm. Like a clapper?
Yeah.
Or tell you to bring them in every night. Bring your cows in every night into the corral. That's feasible.
So you're dealing with the wolves, you're dealing with the water, you're dealing with, what was the other thing that was on the...
Wildfires are always there. Crime is always an issue because you're rural.
Oh, they talked about this new tagging program for your ranches, which I actually, at first I thought, oh, no, here we are, Big Brother. They're going to want to know everything that you're doing. But I like how they went ahead and gave you one number for one ranch or property, right? Everything gets tagged with that number. You don't have to send in an inventory list. You keep it yourself. Something goes missing, you just give a number, and it comes back to you if they find it.
And you pick what you want to put the tag on.
Yeah. And I thought, that's, fairly smart, I think. I was like, okay, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought. Yeah.
So, Supervisor Chris Gelsram, I know you, as a supervisor, you represent the whole county, kind of, right? But your district is very rural, and you have a lot of ranchers, cattlemen, and all that.
I do. That's why it's my favorite district.
Right?
Yeah.
So is this one of those things when, even the other day at the meeting, there's so many little things going on, right? So many little issues, do you then start to rattle off like, okay, I can tackle this one, I cannot tackle this one, I cannot? Do you like strategize?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, my wheelhouse is, you know, ranching, farming, water, fire, the planning department, building department, or whatever. So, you know, that's what I specialize in, so to speak. You know, when Kevin and I first got elected, he goes, hey, what do you want to concentrate on? Now, keep in mind the ACID canal was dry for the first time in over 100 years. And I said, well, I want to concentrate on water and fire and this building department and stuff. He goes, well, I want to concentrate on mental health and homelessness. I'm like, dude, it's all yours. So we literally kind of crossed, you know, some people will come to me with some of those issues. And I'm like, you know, you really should talk to Kevin. And then they'll come to Kevin with some issues. He's like, you really need to talk to Chris, you know. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, those are my issues. So.
So when you hear the issue about the wolf, Gray Wolf, and you met those, you know, other people on the panel, and are you like,
well, see,
to check
I started this fight back in the with the mountain lions, and I mean the mountain lions, you know, at one point the Department of Fish and Game in the 90s was going to deregulate them from endangered to threatened, and actually have hunting seasons on them, and so there's a big, you know, kerfuffle over that because everybody lives in a city thinks mountain lions just this beautiful creature and they're so, you know, elegant, blah blah blah. Well, they don't have to deal with them. We have to deal with them. Mountain lion eats one deer a week as average. That's their main food source. So you're talking 50 deer a year for one mountain lion. It doesn't take long to devastate the deer herds. So during that time, before it was voted on by the people, there was a lady named Barbara Schoner that got chased down while she was jogging and eaten by a mountain lion and buried. Yeah. And it's like, well, this ought to do it. This ought to show everybody what the problem is. And, you know, I'm sure this thing's going to pass now and we can control them. No, actually, more money was raised for the mountain lion cubs than for Barbara Schoner's kids when it came.
Well, she shouldn't have been jogging.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So I've been fighting with this, and then they want to reintroduce the wolves, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me. And when they stopped hunting bears with dogs, you know, I warned everybody. I said it's going to be just like mountain lions; they're going to be out of control. You know,
they
used to stop bear season when you hit 1,500 bear tags. When 1,500 bears have been killed, they stopped bear season, which usually was in, you know, mid December, and they would shut it down. They have not reached that number since they stopped hunting with dogs. And, you know, I said, bears are going to be as big a problem as mountain lions. And one day I live in Cottonwood, and I'm coming down my road going to work early in the morning, and I see this black blob off to the left, and I'm like, I know what that looks like, but I can't believe I'm seeing it on my road, you know. And
you don't even go to Cottonwood. They're here in the just
right.
The city. I mean, we had one in the garden track.
Nope.
Somebody got on their video camera climbing the fence and walking the fences.
Welcome to California game. Welcome to California
and
game
you,
management.
You know, the funny thing during the pandemic, I don't know if you saw it, but, like, it was so dead because I had a business downtown and I stayed open. I mean, I swear to you, I'm sitting there one day at the register, there's no customers, there's no traffic, you know, Twitter. I mean, and I know we have turkeys everywhere here, but we're here in the heart of downtown Reading, and there's a flock of turkeys walking down the middle of Placer Street.
Okay.
And I'm like, they don't take long to take it back.
Nope.
If you're not...
I tell you what.
Fortunately, turkeys don't eat cows, so...
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, let's take our break a little early, because I want to come back, and let's talk about outreach to the youth, right? Because it's the next generation that are going to have to carry this on for you. So, Shasta Live, we'll be right back.
Unique homes, uniquely placed, uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson has distinct treasures to choose from, including vinyl records, DVDs, antique jewelry such as brooches and rings, necklaces and bracelets. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage and Collectibles also offers vintage clothing and accessories such as retro dresses and scarves, jackets and hats, along with vintage furniture, tablecloths and silverware, cookware and glassware. And don't forget Mantiques, including military
memorabilia, camping and mining equipment, men's jewelry such as crosses and rings, sports memorabilia, and collectibles. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. Open Monday 10 to 6, closed Tuesday and Wednesday. Open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday noon to 5. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
We're back, and we're busy on doing our photo shoot for the night.
Yeah, there you go. Welcome back, Shasta Live.
We're doing the calendar, the Men of Shasta County Cattlemen's Association.
Yep, there you go. So we have the Cattlemen's Association here. We have Supervisor Chris Kelstrom here. So what are you guys doing? Do you guys have any programs to reach out to the next generation? Any youth outreach programs?
Do.
Because it seems to me that one of the things we should be teaching, in, especially in schools, is where their food comes from,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
And maybe if that sinks in, you'd have more advocates.
Yeah, we, you know, that's a lot of what Cattlemen's tries to do. It's, a lot of it comes down to just educating folks that don't know. And we do, you know, with our membership, we have along with a regular membership, we have an associates, but we also have a junior membership. So that could be kids, you know, any kids if they're in FFA right now and they want to get further involved with the livestock industry, they can join up and become a member as well. And
you guys have all kinds of really cool financial programs to assist in getting steers and animals for kids that want to participate.
Yeah, Jeff could talk about that because he's been really spearheading that.
Yeah, we have a program where we will loan kids up to $1,800 this year to go out and buy their steer, and then that's a interest-free loan. And then, you know, periodically we can check in on them, and they can lean on us for assistance and technical knowledge.
What I like about that, not only is it encouraging them to get into the program, but it also is teaching them finance and the fact that, I mean, they're missing one little point, and that is nobody gets interest-free loans. But obviously you guys do. But you know what I mean? You have to think about the fact what you're getting involved and you're going to have to pay somebody back. So you better do a good job so that that steer or whatever it is sells high when the fair comes and all that stuff so that you can pay that loan back and
Absolutely.
Make a little money. But it's a way of understanding how commerce and, you know, free market and capitalism works.
Well, you mentioned the fair, and that's a big one. We try to support the fair as much as possible.
Yeah.
Sponsorships.
That's one of my favorite parts of the fair, to go look at all the
absolutely.
Animals.
Absolutely. We have an entire competition, just the bred and fed. It's our locally raised steer competition that our president, who's out of town right now, Brian Stevenson, he's been heading that up for the last few years, does a great job with that. And so the fair is a huge way we try to reach out to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do also have scholarships.
Yep.
So for those students going into an agricultural field, we offer, we have right now two $1,000 scholarships that we try to offer every year, and we've actually done more than that when we've had a lot of good qualified applicants.
So are you working with the local school districts?
Yeah, we'll send all those applications to the school districts and have the kids fill those out. And
well, that's actually why we joined as the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce with the Shasta County Cattlemen's Association, is because ultimately we would like to participate in some way where we're creating a scholarship from the Shasta County Chamber with the cattlemen, so that it's, you know, you're giving more scholarships and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if I could say too, you know, the Cattlemen's Association is nothing without the Cattle Women's Association.
Yeah, true.
That's, yep. We all kind of understand how that works.
Good thing you remember that. You'd all be hung when you got home.
Well, and one of the biggest reasons I thought about that, too, though, is that what they do for the kids is even more than what we were able to accomplish. They have Ag in the Classroom exhibits. They go straight into the actual classes.
Mm.
My wife's done this several times. They actually bring tools of the cowboy in and talk to the young kids and tell them about ranching life and what it means to raise that food and you know, get them young.
Sure.
And so.
And a little respect, that's your wife, Ginger. She is actually your secretary for the Shasta Cattlemen.
Yes. And they have the Beef Ambassador and Beef Princess also.
And then, yes, so the Beef Ambassador, Beef Princess competition, which actually is coming up March 1st, this has been something that we've done for decades. This mm-hmm. has been going on for a long time.
Makes me laugh a little. I'm sorry.
Well, my daughter is actually a past beef princess and beef ambassador.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it's a serious deal.
I know it is.
The beef princess is there to help with whatever events are going on. The beef ambassador, it used to be more of a state-run deal, but it's a little bit more localized now, but
they don't go off to some one place where they all the champions from all the counties.
They did.
Oh, they do.
They did. Yeah.
Oh, they did.
I'm not sure if they can still do that this year.
Beef of the world.
Yeah, but no, it's definitely representing our industry, and these are young people representing uh-huh. our industry.
How many cattle ranches, do you think there are roughly in Shasta County alone?
That's a hard number to count because unfortunately it's been dwindling. What would you guys say? As far, and I guess it all depends on too how what size.
Yeah, what you consider a ranch. If it's 5 acres with one cow on it,
well, that's
a ranch.
Where you come in because you're supposed to be educating us dummies, right?
So I think it's important that's a great topic because I think the latest statistic I saw was 80% of the cattle ranches in the nation now are 50 head or less. So these giant legacy ranches like. You know, Matt comes from and Roy comes from, those are starting to dwindle. They're getting cut up. And so I think, you know, a lot of the people that we want to start targeting is these people that have 50 head or less because, you know, they need help that these guys can provide, and they make up the majority of the cattle ranchers in the nation.
So real quick, I mean, not you, jump in, but I went years ago, I used to see ads on TV all the time for, you know, eat beef. They were the California, I don't know what it was, but I don't see that anymore. Is that just because it's just gone out of style? Because it seems like you would still want all the beef producers in California, or anybody would like those type of commercials to come on.
You should have looked in the parking lot at the luncheon that you went to. You've seen some, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Those bumper stickers are still around.
Because, there was like, you know, what's on the menu? Eat beef. There was all these campaigns that you saw that seemed like they were statewide, like it was a state organization. And you just don't seem to see those kind of commercials anymore. But then again, you know what? I don't watch really regular TV anymore. I watch
everything. Well, that's why I don't see them.
Streaming.
Don't we have a huge mural down on the wall in the airport?
Yes. Well, and actually that's the California Cattle Council, which was kind of initiated just a few years ago, is actually kind of getting that, spearheading that back again.
Back again? Yeah,
yeah. Bring in those advertisements. There's a really good TV commercial. It's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
They did a spectacular job on it. But it goes even into more than just eat beef. It goes into the industry itself and how, you know, ranchers, like we said, are the ultimate environmentalists there. They take care of the land. So
yeah, and you know, funding, you know, sometimes, because that does cost money, but like that cattle council, you know, they made a point at our meeting on Saturday that they're targeting the more urban areas, you know, the people that really don't have any clue, that don't ever get to drive by a pasture occasionally, you know.
Sure.
So, and that's important. Those people need it the most.
So, how can people reach you?
Well, we have our website. Jeff, do you have the...
Yeah, it's just ShastaCountyCattlemans.org.
Okay.
So, and we also have a very active Facebook page that
you do. You can get. And there's information there. It gives a listing of everybody's positions. There's a contact number. That's where I went on and stuff, and it works just fine. So if you want to find out anything and just get a hold of somebody, just give it a call or an email.
We'll provide a link, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we do have a meeting usually they're always the fourth Tuesday at Vittles at 7.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Vittles. I mean, I don't know what you were going to bring up next. Do we have just a minute to talk about encouraging people to come this next Thursday to the
ACID. Well, yeah. I was going to merge this into food because we always ask.
Same. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yep. But you have to have water with your food.
Supervisor Chris Nelson, why don't you talk about the ACID meeting real quick?
Oh, yeah. So Thursday there's an ACID meeting. There's
being in Anderson.
In Anderson at the Anderson City Council's office on the third floor, 6 o'clock Thursday night. They're kind of being pressured into signing a contract. Now, once again, it's the government saying, hey, trust us, it's going to be better for you, this is a great deal. My personal opinion, anytime you deal with the government and kind of enter a contract, you lose rights.
Yeah.
This is supposedly going to protect rights, yet they're in such a hurry, they're really pushing them to do this before the Biden administration is gone. So
well, that should give you all the clue
me a
you
whole
need
bunch
to know.
Of red flags and hair stands up on the back of my neck.
So Thursday,
what we had talked about is there is a contract that is in place that is actually in place until 2045. This is going to be a vote to push, like you were saying, an additional layer onto the existing contract. Funny enough, it seems like it's being motivated with lots of money. So when you talk about something that's being pushed from one administration, drives under the wire and pushing it to the end and then trying to cover things with money, that's suspicious to me.
And when Trump won in 2016, he immediately put ranchers and farmers above fish. You know, mm-hmm. they were first in line above fish. Biden administration put the fish back up on the top of the line. And so the fact that that is their way of thinking, and now they're pushing them to go into this contract before Trump takes over, again, red flags, hair on the back of my neck, I would...
And the current situation is that if there's not enough water, obviously there's not enough water, right? So that's common sense. But... you know, the other way around, it's like sometimes I don't think that's really what they're looking to do. And we talked about it off air, was that, was it last year, year before, whatever was the first year in decades that there was no water in the canal. And that was just devastating. It was devastating for, we had to put in, you know, we had to spend $150,000 putting in a new commercial well.
And this new contract will give them $14.5 million, which $14.5 million for, you know, the ACID board, that's great. They can use that money. But, you know, the end users got nothing. I mean, you got nothing. These guys got nothing. The end users get nothing. And that, I mean, there was way more there. $14 million damage done that year they drained.
Yeah, and they're forcing people, if there's going to be no water, they're going to have to put in a well, right? And then the very next thing they do is, we've already received our letter in Tehama County telling us that they want to meter our well. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, they just like literally are chasing you down with a pitchfork.
So this sounds like a whole other show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A whole additional show after Thursday. Maybe next week we'll
give it. Yeah.
Guys, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And anything we can do to support you?
Thank you very much.
We'd love to.
Take a break?
And the community needs to support you and recognize where their food comes from, because that's really important, I think. And
absolutely.
A lot of people just, you know, you ask a kid now, where do you get your food? Grocery store. You know, and yeah, that is true. You get it at the grocery store, but where did it come to the grocery store?
And you don't have to own cows to support us, you know?
No.
Well, we don't own cows. We eat them.
There you go.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Here we are. That was, we had a lot of people to push out to transition to our next fine gentleman.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Either of you been done radio before?
No.
Never.
You both have faces for radio for sure.
Yeah.
You're live on YouTube, though, so if you want to say hi.
Hey. How's it going, guys?
Welcome. So welcome to Shasta Live, Nigel James. The rest of the crew just exited the building.
Yes.
So one of our favorite topics is food.
Yes.
Because I think everybody loves food.
Mm. Food is life.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We love food.
And we happen to live in an area where the ratio of restaurants to people is actually very high. We have a lot of restaurants.
We do. I think food to me is right up there with music, right?
Yes.
Like music is a universal language. Doesn't matter if you don't know what it's saying. You can feel it. And food is one of those things that bring people together, where you can sit at a table across from somebody that may not even, you may not know them at all. They could even be an enemy.
They
that
can always
kind of
share
thing.
A noodle.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you break bread and you relax and you talk, right? It brings people together. And you get to share a little bit about who you are, your culture, your background through food. I mean, 100%. You know, it's amazing how many different flavors and dishes are in the world from different cultures. I mean, you just think there are only so many ingredients, but, you know, yet.
Of course. But it's so vast. And yeah. It kind of depends on how you.
Why don't you introduce yourself? What's your name?
So my name is Sue.
Sue.
And I am a manager for Pinong's and Sap House.
I've never heard of Pinong's.
Yeah, Pinong's is we built that for the kids at Shasta High.
Oh, really?
So that,
oh.
So that building over at Shasta High, it's a boba shop.
I know it. It's across the street?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the term Pinong's in our language means like,
can you say that a little slower?
The name Pinong's in
Pinong.
Our family. Yeah, Pinong's.
Mm-hmm.
And our language means like family.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you are, you have to introduce yourself.
My name's Alan.
Alan?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, hi, Al.
Yeah. And are you the owner?
Yes, sir.
And you have two. You have Pinong?
Pinong's. Pinong. And then the Sap House food truck.
The Sap House, yeah. Food truck. Mm-hmm. I know that one.
It's kind of funny because there are two entities, but we kind of are just one company.
Sure. Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, and it's kind of just...
The back end is where you make your magic, and then they go to separate front ends that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you get into the restaurant business?
You know, honestly,
blush now. Do you want me to ask the other guy?
No, so I actually really got into it, like, being younger, me and my older brother, Alex, we used to cook at our like house barbecues and stuff like that. You know, we were always cooking with my mom.
I could see that's how
it all started. And then I guess that my first restaurant job was actually at Thai Hut.
Mm.
I was like a dishwasher, kind of a prepper there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left there, and then one day I was just talking to my brother about a food truck to do it ourselves, and the next day he came with a yellow lunchbox food truck. The next day, not knowing anything, and it was just in my driveway, and that whole
the dream
week,
begins.
Yeah. And we didn't even know what we were doing, but we've been in business for a long time, like our new business, because our parents owned Doughboy Donuts for years, since 1999.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Now my sister in law runs
a huge donut fan.
Yeah. So that's how it first started.
Emphasis on huge.
Uh huh. You can see I have a donut right here.
I really can't tell, honestly, but I mean, it's funny because. So just quickly, his dad and my dad were friends, and we started, when we moved here, my parents, my family, we came from San Diego, and we came here, and our families worked for Winchell's Donuts.
Oh. Yeah,
and so that's how.
Mike and Trevor Garrett. Yeah.
Stole the recipes.
actually, they actually sold my dad the one on Lake Boulevard. It used to be Winchell's then.
Yeah.
And my dad worked for them for so long, like they sold him that, and he made Doughboy Donuts out of it.
Yeah. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
He loved donuts.
And we're still real good friends with, Trevor, who is the son of Mike, that runs Heavenly, and his mom is great. Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So what is your nationality?
Laotian.
You're Laotian. Okay. And I always assume that, but... You never like, you're a nice Chinese boy.
I'm American.
There you go.
I'm American.
No, but you are.
Yeah.
You 100% are American.
Yeah.
But you have.
Born and raised here.
But you have, we all
our
have.
Our culture, yeah.
Cultural, yes.
And that's what I think is kind of different with our food, too, is we do tacos, but Asian style.
Yeah.
You
know, love that.
Fusion. Yeah. Incorporate everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it. And, you know, it's interesting. So I don't know why, but. There is a very large Laotian population or community in Reading, and there has been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to school back in high school with lots of my friends were Laotian, and there was a big migration, obviously, to this country at some point. But how they ended up in Reading, I always didn't know how that happened. You guys had a radio station, too, out of the public television. There was a Laotian radio station that
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was all kinds of stuff going on. Back in the day, I don't know about now, but
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's a fun fact.
But I don't know what brought them to Reading.
I think when my parents first got here, I think they ended up going to the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
So
your parents were migrants that came
and then,
over.
And then when they got to the Bay Area, it was kind of like my mom didn't like it, my dad didn't really like it because it was a lot of trouble then.
Yeah,
in the 80s, 90s,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So they found out Reading was like a safer place, so we moved here.
Yeah, well, good. Yeah,
okay. So, what's on the menu? Mm. Give us some of the, so that you have the restaurant, which is called again?
The Sap House.
Sap House.
Sap House. And the food truck.
The food truck is a Sap House.
Okay. Yeah.
Pinong's is our boba shop.
Boba shop. Yeah.
So what's on the menu on Sap House?
Okay. So, what we're known for, the Sap House itself is our Sap Burritos and our Sap Bowls, which is basically, our take on a burrito and a rice bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so, with those two items, if you haven't had us before and you do show up and try us out, those will introduce you to all the flavors that we kind of have on the food truck first. Yeah. And then everything branches out from there. So,
So it's like, our burritos are, if you guys ever had sticky rice before, it's a bit of sticky rice.
That can be deadly, by the way.
Oh,
sticky
rice.
Oh, yeah. If it's done right. I'll just take a bucket of sticky rice.
We make our own sausage. So the sausage is like a lot of, herbs and spices, you know, a lot of, lemongrass, lime leaves. Shallots, onions, you know, and all that mixed into
melting.
Is
the truck open tonight?
Not tonight. We just closed it. But and then we have a marinated tri-tip that goes in it: sauteed bell peppers, mushrooms, onions.
Where are you guys mostly hanging during the day? Are you?
It's in our storefront, so you can catch us there from Monday through Saturdays, from when we open from 11 to when we close for now at 6.
Okay.
Once the season starts changing, we will go back to later hours.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, if you follow us online, you Instagram, post all the time, Facebook, the owner, he'll let everybody know what we're doing, where we're going, and where we're going to be, and what we don't, stuff like that.
Are you guys ever hanging at the park? Do you ever do that?
Yeah. Todd's our guy, man.
Okay. Great guy.
We actually designed these fries for just the park. You can only get them at the park.
It's fries.
Like a smoked tri-tip.
I love that. You can do that. I love things that are like special. They're special.
Yeah, you can only get them.
You have to hunt for them.
Yeah. So like when the park starts up again, we'll be there, you know, Friday or Saturdays.
Uh-huh.
We started doing bar nights at Black Diamond right now, you know, and we go to Raw and do it all Raw. And this Thursday we'll be at Poor Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Or no. Fall River, I'm sorry. Friday, we'll be at Poor Boys.
Yeah.
Do you guys, I mean, somebody can hire to have your truck come to an event?
Of course.
100%.
You the green?
Yeah.
Well, the past couple of personal catering events that were requested from us to take the truck out were some of our old clientele from back when, before COVID took us out.
And
they just wanted to hire us and do a birthday. And it was great.
So we do private events all the time, you know, birthdays, I mean, big or small, it's just, you know, there's a deposit, but we try not to say no.
Yeah.
You know, if you want us, we'll be there.
Another question, this is kind of just out of left field politics, and you can avoid it if you want, but do you guys ever discuss or talk about not being able to bring your truck to Anderson? Because of their ordinance?
Yeah, you know, so last year, our friend Chaos, he's a musician, local guy.
Uh-huh.
He did something at the Anderson River Park. When I go to Anderson and because you have to get a
permit,
a different permit, right? Because of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked them to be if I could do the mosquito serenade, because I got a lot I got a lot of customers like, hey, dude, you need to go out there
for sure.
You know, just to have a different truck out there. So I'm trying to talk to them, but. And I go to the city, and the city, she's just like, hey, like, they pick and choose people, and they have the same trucks throughout the whole year, which is great, you know? So I'm actually talking to them right now to get into it, and I told them about us, and so I got a...
And I don't have a problem with that at all, right? Like, if you're signing a contract for a year, because, I mean, that... You kind of get to know what your schedule is, right?
Right.
But it's just not as if it seems like it's not just as free and open overall in the city.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The park's a whole another thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of it was started by, Jeff, is it not Jeff?
Todd.
Sorry. Yes. My apologies, Todd. For there, right? But I don't know that it ever just turned out as well as it did here. But I did movies in the park for years, and we did that there where the Mosquito Serenade, we were on opposite nights. And I mean, I always thought, gosh, there needs to be trucks here. Cause I've got, you know, 1500 people sitting here watching a movie that would love to.
And one of those things too, I think Anderson should do it because they can get some tax money, you know what I mean? And make money if there's trucks out there.
Yeah.
I really don't
know.
Well,
and the more the merrier, right?
I don't know what it is.
Food drives food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it brings in people.
When Todd started the park, a brilliant idea. I loved it, right? Yeah. But I was concerned. I had to say that, you know, they're setting up all these food vehicles right next to Fusion, right next to, you know,
Final Draft
and those things. And so I had a little concern because I was afraid, you know, are this going to cannibalize these other restaurants who are paying much higher employment taxes and property taxes and, you know, all that stuff. And so I was optimistically
surprised.
I was concerned, right? But it has done nothing but increase traffic all over downtown.
Because I think on that note too, when there's a lot of food in one area, I think that brings more people downtown.
Absolutely.
For you know, real, it brings it
way more good. People here. You know,
I mean, yeah. Look at Disneyland. Look at how many restaurants they have in a very, very
right. I think it actually made it better.
No, it did.
Because like, even still, like, I mean, we
both
still.
There's 10 times 1,000 more people than there would have been.
Oh, yeah, 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 for sure.
And it just creates the atmosphere and environment and encourages people. So even if, so just the fun of the park, right, encourages people to come out and you can choose to go to Final Draft or go to Fusion, right?
And still be
a part of the downtown thing. I mean, you can go eat and then go over to the park and have a drink and hang out
and
listen to music,
outside,
right?
Yep.
So yeah, I agree. I was happy that it turned out the way it did. And I just kind of
great
wish
idea. Great
Anderson,
idea.
Anderson would see that because I think that's their, at least from what I understand, the fear is that it will cannibalize other businesses.
And I
mean,
it just really would bring a lot of
people. Anderson's so spread out. It's not like Reading has, it's like it's downtown has that. So if you had a food truck at Mavericks or wherever it is, that's really not going to affect anything, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, still, even when we bring our food truck out, we get people that come from Anderson, Collinwood, further down, further up that come.
So,
you know,
you guys have a lot of regulars that hunt you down?
Yeah.
Yep.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And it's kind of like sometimes when we're closing too and we're just like, dang it, you know, but we know they're from Collinwood or something, you know, we just fire back on and get them going.
Okay. So your number one seller?
Sap Bowl. For sure.
Yep.
Number one. Number one app is probably our egg rolls. And then we do our own sauces. So I mean, we have
the sauces.
It's all in the sauce.
I'm a huge app.
Yeah, we do. We do our honey sriracha.
Sometimes I'll just eat all apps for dinner. Sorry, my bad.
We roast all peppers. We do a roasted jalapeno, roasted Thai chili, roasted habaneros.
And it's spicy. If you like spicy, you guys,
I'm
have
a
to come check us out.
What's the secret? What's the secret
of
the sauce?
The secret is love.
Uh-huh. 100%.
You do everything with love and passion.
Yeah.
You say that, but it's actually like
it's actually
100 octane fuel.
Okay, honeys and peppers.
Yeah. We really take our time on it. We actually in the truck we will roast 400 Thai chilies at one time. You know,
and I'd like to say thank you for your service in that. No disrespect to the military, because the same way, but like for you to be in one of those trucks during the summer. You're nuts.
It was me. Don't look at that guy. I was in the truck all summer.
I mean, I don't care what kind of air conditioning you have. Those things are hotter than heck.
Yeah, yeah. We have an AC unit inside there.
I know, but this is nothing with the window open. Yeah,
but it only gets the guy on that side. But if you're cooking, it's like
you're
200
sitting over a fire.
200 in the
But you know what? When you're doing something and you're trying to cater to a population or whoever it is that is coming to support you, you just don't really think about that stuff, and you're just doing it because you want to do it.
He's lying. I think about it all the time.
Like, so I can just see the term blood, sweat, and tears. So you cut your finger while processing the peppers. There's your blood. You're sitting over that thing at a 300 degrees, sweating the heck out, right? And then you just probably want to die and cry because you're just like, I'm so hot and tired.
I'm crying because I'm the only one doing it, and this guy's inside.
Or the peppers and the onions making you tear up.
Okay,
we're almost out of time.
One minute, 19 seconds.
So what are the plans for 2025? Any?
Yeah,
should we spill it?
Yeah,
you can spill what you're going to spill, but what I'm going to say
spill the tea.
We want to do more. We want to go further. We want to be introduced to more people. We want to expand. So I think,
you know, Jason from Reading Buzz.
Yeah.
So he usually sits here, but he's doing he's training for boxing match.
So he's gonna, supposed to be.
He was a crazy old man. I thought one time trying to get free food from me. 2014.
Well, he was.
Yeah, you know, and I was just like, you know what? He's just probably a crazy dude. I wrote this story about him on my page. And he's just all laughing. And I was just like, dude, that's a crazy old man trying to get free food. He had like 100 followers at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we gave it to him, and he was like one of our first guys who would do that. And,
now look at him.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Reading Buzz.
Now he's up to like 40,000 almost.
Yeah. So we do got adventures going on this year. We got a couple of them we're trying to work on. I guess I'll save that for another episode or something.
It's the drums.
It's the drums. Real quick, before we go, how can people find you?
So our Instagram, look up Pinongs. It'll show us. And then on Facebook, Mitre Sap House. And
yeah, we'll Mitre Sap House. Yeah.
Excellent.
But we are one.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank you for coming in.
No, thank you guys.
We'll come hunt you down.
Yeah. Yeah. Please. Please come find us.
Have a good one. Thank you.
Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.